turn to Psalm 95, looked at verse 6 this morning, read the entire psalm, 11 verses. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest or into the land of Canaan. You'll notice that there is no inscription above this psalm as to its author or the occasion, but the writer of Hebrews quotes from this psalm two times. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Hebrews 4, verse 7. And in Hebrews 4, verse 7, if you turn there, he attributes this psalm to David. And the writer, being under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, I believe we can safely say that this 95th psalm was written by David. He says there in Hebrews 4, verse 7, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, the psalm basically falls into two parts. Verses 1 through 7 is an invitation to worship the Lord. And then, rather abruptly, in verses 8 through 11, the psalmist gives warning to the very ones that he had invited to worship. We want to take the thought of the message this evening from four words that we find in this psalm. The first word is come, cursed three times. We find it in verse 1, we find it in verse 2, and also in verse 6. Come. The next word we find in verse 3, four. Four. So it is come four. And the next word we find in verse 6 is worship. Come for worship. And then the last word we find in verse 7 is the word today. Come for worship today. And that'll be the title of the message. Come for worship today. And this 95th psalm is an invitation to congregational worship, which is truly a blessed time in the life of the child of God. Now notice the plural in verse 1. Verse 2 and verse 6, we read, let us, let us, let us. And it is public worship that he's talking about. It's unified worship. Let us sing. Let us make a joyful noise. Let us come before his presence. Let us worship. So there's a plurality. But again, there's also a unity in this worship. So in order for congregational worship to be honoring to God, it must be unified as well. So this 95th Psalm makes very clear the essentials that we should find in congregational worship. In verses 7 and 8, in the context of worship, we see that we are to listen to God, we are to believe God, so as not to imitate the Exodus generation who hardened their hearts against God. Not to respond to the invitation of worship is to harden your heart against God. Anyone who willfully absents themselves from congregational worship, I'm not talking about providentially hindered, willfully stays away from congregational worship, they have hardened their heart toward God. And that's what he warns against here in this 95th Psalm, but that's not our point this evening. The message of the Psalm is basically this: worship God or else. That's basically the message here. When you put the two halves together, worship God or else you will not enter into my rest. You will not enter into Canaan. You will not enjoy God's best for your life. So it's worship or else. You'll be like those in the day of provocation. Again, the first part of the psalm, verses 1 through 7, is an invitation to congregational worship. And as you read those verses, you see it's emotional, it's energetic, it's joyful praise to God. And as you read verses 1 through 7, there's no performance. There's no performance for personal honor. There's really no allowance. There's no room for personal honor. What is said in these verses makes it very clear that this is not just mindless repetition, which happens many times in so-called worship. What is said in these verses is not superficial. It's not shallow. It's not devoid of spiritual content and meaning. What is said in these verses is not cold. It's not lifeless. And what we read of here, again, involves congregational worship, which ought to be a sacred, very special, a very noteworthy time of God's people. A time of great privilege, a time of great opportunity, a time that ought to be treasured by all of God's people. What a blessing that the Lord's people can congregate to worship God. And that's the purpose of congregating, is to worship God. Now we want to notice some of the essentials. We'll call attention to seven. There's really more there than that. But we want to notice these essentials of this congregational worship. First of all, it involves the heart. Following the invitation to worship is a warning. Verse 8, harden not your heart. By refusing this call, this opportunity to worship, harden not your heart. Worship involves a right heart. It involves a prepared heart, a willing heart, a tender and soft heart, a trembling heart, a single heart, a pure heart. In other words, there must be preparation made. Has to be. It is absolutely essential to true worship. People need to get ready to worship God. And by getting ready, I don't mean just putting on clothes. We need to get our hearts ready to worship the Lord. We're not here just to be here. Now, there are some that would be so. They're only here to be here. There's no real reason for them to be here. They do not come to worship. They may come to hear the latest news or whatever. But it's obvious that some do not come to worship. They never have. They just come to be here. True worship means that we must be prepared to worship. Again, come. Come to worship. Come to worship. That's what we read there in verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship. Come to worship. That's our purpose of coming. To worship. We're to prepare to worship and meet with God. To worship God is to meet with God. If we do not meet with God, we have not worshiped. We must prepare to meet with the Lord. The heart needs to be affected. The heart needs to be stirred before the actual act of worship. Before the act of congregational worship, the heart must be filled with a vivid realization of who God is and what God has done. Before the very act of congregational worship, the heart should be humbled. The heart should be filled with thanksgiving. The heart should be filled with love to God and with a desire and with a passion to reverence and exalt the Lord. That takes place before the actual church service starts. Before Brother Larry leads the first song. That must take place. Actually, it must take place before we walk in the door. This preparation of heart involves a rising above self-interest and self-ways and self-concerns. Notice in Psalm 100. Verses 3 and 4. Psalm 100, verses 3 and 4. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. It is He, not we. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Notice that is before enter into His gates. And how are we to enter into His gates? With thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Those verses tell us the condition in which we are to enter God's house. We are to enter with a realization of who He is. We're to enter with thankful hearts. We're to enter with joyful hearts. We're to enter with a purpose. You do not worship God mindlessly. And you do not worship God unprepared. So congregational worship requires that we prepare our heart to do so. Secondly, this worship involves coming apart from something. Again, three times we have the word come. Verse 1, verse 2, and verse 6. Come, come, come. No one can come without leaving where they are. It's not possible. So the very word come indicates that we must leave somewhere. The invitation to worship is also an invitation to leave wherever we are in order to come. In other words, it's a coming apart from, a leaving of the world. It involves a disconnect from the world. We're to come, we're to leave. We cannot worship if we're not disconnected from the world. And we can come apart from our place physically, but if our mind is still back there, we're still connected. And we can't worship. We can't worship that way. In Genesis 22, in verse 5, you remember God told Abraham to offer his son, Isaac. And in verse 5, he said to his servants concerning himself and Isaac, he said, "Abide ye here, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." But then notice in Genesis 22 and 6, what did Abraham take with him? Genesis 22, 6, they're going to worship. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. He had to take that in order to do what God said. And he laid it upon Isaac, his son. So there's Isaac, he's carrying the wood. And he took the fire in his hand. That is the means of starting the fire. That also was something that was needed in this time of worship. And he took a knife, and there went both of them together. He took only what he needed to worship God. That's all he took. That's all we're to bring into the house of God. That which is needed to worship the Lord. We don't need to bring anything else into the house of God. Only that which is needed to worship the Lord. There is to be a disconnect from the world. And in this age of connectivity, that is a huge obstacle, a huge stumbling block, the true worship of God. We've preached a series of messages on this. It's almost today impossible to worship God because of the connectivity to the world. There has to be a coming apart for the purpose of worship. Thirdly, this worship is an approach unto God. Verse 2, let us come before His presence. So we have left where we were, and we have now come before His presence. There is no worship without coming into the presence of the Lord. Reading the psalm, we see the presence of God. Verse 1, we read those words, unto the Lord. Verse 2, unto Him. In verse 6, before the Lord. So it is a coming into the presence of the Lord. It is a purposeful approach unto God. What is the purpose? What is the purpose of coming? Well, verse 1 says, sing unto the Lord. That's one of our purposes. That's part of worship. Sing unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. So that's one of the purposes. The other is the purpose of thanksgiving. There in verse 2, come before His presence with thanksgiving again, and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And in verse 6, the purpose is to worship. The singing is to be in worship. The thanksgiving is to be in worship. Our purpose is to worship. Come to worship. Come for worship today. Worship is to express reverence. We are to come to express reverence to God. It is humility before God. It is to express the position of God and our position before God. And we see the position that we're to take. We're to bow, we're to prostrate ourselves, we're to bow, we're to kneel before the Lord. We can't worship unless we do that. Unless we do that in our hearts and minds, we cannot worship. So we're to come, and we're to come with a purpose. And his purpose requires diligent preparation. And it arouses strong emotion. Again, you read verse 1 and 2. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. There's emotion there. Come, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us come before Him, His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise. There's excitement. There's emotion. There's anticipation. That's how we're to come into the house of God. David said in Psalm 122 and verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's how we're to come. Because we've come to worship God. We're to come glad. Coming should not be a chore. This joy that we need in worship is not something that can just be turned on whenever you please. It springs from the heart. It is not something that can be manufactured by a song leader or by a pastor. It is something that happens when you prepare your heart for worship. It is the product of the working of the Holy Spirit. That needs to take place before we come. Before we come. So the secret of congregational joy lies with each individual. It's each one of our responsibilities. If every individual comes, the Spirit of God has prepared their heart before they come, therefore they're happy, then you're going to have a spiritual service. You're going to have a joyful service. And as you read Psalm 95, we see this worship is in celebration, singing unto God. Making a joyful noise unto God. Giving thanksgiving unto God. So we're not to come downcast. We're not to come forlorn. But we're to come with a song. We're to come with joy in our heart and with gratitude toward God. Overflowing in our heart. That's how we're to come. These are essential to worship. Fourthly, we see in this worship, God is the focus. That must always be so. Notice the prepositions. Verse 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. That speaks of direction. It speaks of movement. Everything is to be moving in the direction of the Lord. O come, let us unto the Lord. Also in verse 1, notice the preposition to. To the rock of our salvation. In verse 2, before His presence. And again in verse 2, unto Him. In verses 3 through 5, it's all about the Lord. Notice, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His. The sea is His. He made it. And His hands formed the dry ground. And then it says, Oh, come, let us worship. What is the focus? The focus is God. And then in verse 6, we see we're to be before the Lord. And again in verse 7, the emphasis is God. For He is our God. We are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, the focus is the Lord. Psalm 96, which is also a song of worship. The focus is God. There's activities, there's verbs, but it's all unto the Lord. Oh, sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Three times. But it's not just sing, it's sing unto the Lord. He's the focus. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation. Declare His glory, His wonders. And then in verse 6, honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord. Give unto the Lord. Give unto the Lord. You see it over and over. Bring an offering. Come into His courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him. Again, God is the focus. That must be so in all congregational worship. He's the subject. He's the object. He's the center. He's what it's all about. It's all about God. In every worship service, that ought to be so. And you notice as you read this Psalm, 95th Psalm, it's all for God. And it's about God. Everything is focused on Him. Everything is fixed upon Him. It's not about what we receive. We don't come to church for what we receive. If you do, you come for the wrong reason. You come, you read Psalm 95 and 96, you come to give glory unto God. You come to give. Yes, you will receive, but that's not the reason you come. You come to give. You come to give. And you come to give unto God. Again, there's no place for self-glorification. There's no place for self-esteem. There's no place for self-gratification, self-sufficiency, or self-will. There's no allowance, there's no room for self. It's all for God. All for God. Also, this worship involves a thoughtful acknowledgement of God. And that is seen in verses 3 through 7. We are to come overwhelmed with a consciousness of God. Notice in verse 1, He is our safety, the rock of our salvation. He is our security. He is our shelter. In verse 3, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. He is sovereign. He is above and beyond all. And when we come, we're to acknowledge that fact. In verse 4, He's in control of all. In verse 5, He's the creator of all. Verse 7, for He is our God. That speaks of a relationship. We are the people of His pasture. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. The sheep of His hand. Again, there is a thoughtful acknowledgement of who God is. And it comes from a relationship to God. I don't believe anyone can worship God minus a relationship with the Lord. We are His property. We're under His gracious, merciful, long-suffering care. And we are to come realizing that He is everything. He is everything. Sixthly, this worship involves a proper position before God, and we won't say much about that. We preached on that this morning, but we find it in verse 6. This needs to be our position when we worship. Prostrate before God, bowing and kneeling. And that, I'm speaking of the heart. You don't have to physically do that. It won't hurt you if you do. But you don't have to physically do that. More importantly, that needs to always be our spirit. And that's how we must come if we're going to worship the Lord. Seventhly and lastly, there is careful attention to God. Verse 7, notice what it says, today, if you will hear His voice. We come and we are to give careful attention to God. As we've said this many times, it's absolutely amazing. It's really shameful how easily people are distracted in the house of God. You sit down and watch a TV, set a bomb off, and you wouldn't move. But it doesn't take much to distract us from worship. And that's true of all of us. It really doesn't. It doesn't take much. Today, if you will hear His voice. What an opportunity. What a privilege. God has something to say. God has something to say to me. If you will hear His voice. That is, God expresses Himself. God makes known Himself. God reveals Himself through His Word. He makes known His will. He makes known what pleases Him and what is right and what is best and what is most advantageous to us. If you will hear His voice, we ought to come to the house of God. Our purpose is to worship Him. But we also come with anticipation to hear from God, to hear His voice. God has a word specifically for each one of us. And we are to come ready to hear His voice. Sometimes it may be a word of instruction. May be a word of exhortation. May be a word of warning. May be a word of rebuke and correction. It may be a word of encouragement. But we are to come to worship Him. We are to come and give all to Him. And we are to come expecting to hear from God. Listening. Their ears open. We are to come willing to hear from God. The reason so many get so disturbed at just the reading of Scripture is because they have no desire to hear what God has to say. Be sure of this, whatever God says is never without reason. It's never without purpose. It's never without cause. It's never unnecessary. Oh, you and I say a lot of things that are better off not being said. It's never frivolous. It's never unimportant. Never. So we're to come to hear His voice. Again, the psalm is an invitation to congregational worship. Oh, come. Come with a right heart. Come with a willing heart, a tender heart, a trembling heart. Come apart from the world unto the Lord with a joyful song and praise, with the purpose of showing gratitude to Him and giving Him honor and glory, exalting Him, reverencing Him, coming in humility. Oh, come. Oh, come. We ought to do so with a shared joy. With a shared joy. Every one of us needs to come with joy. And if we all do that, that's a shared joy. And we come with a shared purpose to worship the Lord. To worship the Lord. How beautiful it is. We read in Ephesians that the angels are interested in the congregational worship of the Lord's churches. It's something that thrills them. And how beautiful it is when a people congregate together for the purpose of worshiping the Lord. Everything else needs to be put aside for a common purpose to worship the Lord. Oh, what a privilege is ours. What an opportunity is ours. Most of us have been saved for several decades. and all the opportunity that has been ours to come to the house of God to worship. None of us can say that every time we've come in a right spirit and right heart, none of us can say that. But oh, what a privilege to just be given the opportunity to come and to worship the Lord. Not everyone makes use of that opportunity. Why a child of God would have no interest in worshiping God is beyond me. It is beyond any reason. We're to come, and our purpose is to worship the Lord, to give unto Him. Thank God every time that opportunity comes our way. Again, we are to worship God every single day as individuals. But there are some special times, Wednesday and Sunday, when we have the privilege of congregating together with a shared purpose, with a shared joy, to worship the Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.